From the Center for the Study of God and Culture and the studios of Faith Talk 1500, it's the Paul Edwards Program. Information, commentary, and podcasts are always online at godandculture.com. Now, here's your host, Paul Edwards.
You know, there are any number of things that I value about being a pastor and my job as a pastor. It's not a job, it's a calling. But one of my favorite things about being a pastor is when little children will come up to me in the lobby of my church, little kids, and they will be smiling really wide, and they will say, "Pastor, I lost a tooth." And they're so proud of it. I have never, in 25 years of ministry, had an adult come up to me and say, "Pastor, I lost a tooth." I now know why. As of yesterday, sitting in the oral surgeon's chair, having that broken tooth drilled out of the back of my mouth. I know that's exactly what you wanted to hear at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. But doing my best to recover from the oral surgery, I want to send out my thanks to Dr. Brian Johnson and his great staff over there at the Oral and Facial Surgeons of Michigan. When he was done, I said, "Well, you did such a great job with my tooth. I'm sure people are wondering, might you be able to help my face?" I don't know. That would have been the appropriate time for the, which we didn't get. 866-423-WLQV is the phone number. 866-423-9578 if you'd like to engage us. And you can instant message me in studio at the website at godandculture.com. There is a radical Islamist that's going to be speaking in Livonia, I think on Sunday. I lost the day yesterday, so the April the 11th, is that Sunday? April the 11th. He's going to be at Laurel Manor on Sunday, and Dr. Zudi Jasser is going to join us from the American Islamic Forum for Democracy to tell us why we need to be concerned about Tariq Ramadan coming. That sounds like a stage name, doesn't it? Tariq Ramadan? But Zudi Jasser are going to join us a little bit later this hour to talk about the appearance of Tariq Ramadan, who he is, and why Muslims in particular ought to be concerned about his appearance. Dr. Jasser, by the way, is a committed Muslim, not a Christian, and yet he loves this country, and very anxious to chat with him about that. Bart Stupak announced today that he is not seeking re-election, that he is going to retire. Now, one might wonder just how much of that comes from the criticism that he has received in the wake of his turncoat on the issue of abortion. Here's a man, he was my congressman for about 2 years in the early 90s when I lived in Traverse City. And he's a man that I disagreed with on many, many issues, but always appreciated his stand on pro-life causes. And he caved. And, you know, 2 weeks before he caved, Rush Limbaugh said he was going to cave. And he did. When push came to shove, he put his party above his principles. And he has taken a great deal of criticism. And one just has to wonder how much of that comes from the pressure that was being brought to bear in the wake of his turncoat on the issue of abortion. The Family Research Council was set to launch ads tomorrow in the state calling for, pro-life Democrats to reconsider any vote that they might make for Bart Stupak. Obviously, that's off the table now. And the senior vice president for Family Research Council Action is our friend Tom McCluskey, and he joins us now. And, Tom, it's always great to have you and other representatives from FRC with us here on the program.
Well, thanks for having me out this afternoon.
Was it a surprise to the folks there at FRC that Bart Stupak would do this?
Actually, it did come as somewhat of a surprise, especially because there were some people reporting yesterday that he was not going to step out or step back from the race. So I do think it was the decision that he certainly made, the final decision in the last 24 hours, except it did come as a surprise.
Do you think that it has anything at all to do with the criticism that he's been receiving in the wake of his vote on the health care bill?
I think without a doubt. For over a year, he was, he even talked about an incident where him and his wife were spit upon by pro-abortion folks during the whole health care debate. And I think that it weighed heavily on him. And I think he tried to act honorably throughout the healthcare debate, I think he got sold some faulty magic beans at the end of the debate. It's certainly the health care vote, even though he's not saying it's the reason. I do think the health care vote is the main reason and weighs heavily on him that he realizes that he didn't really – his constituency up there, you said you used to live up there. My in-laws live up there. It's a very pro-life community, mm-hmm. even though it's blue-collar community.
Yep.
And his actions by voting for the bill really did not reflect, I think, his district.
Do you think that he was counting the cost and saying, you know what, this might be tougher than we imagined to get reelected? Because, you know, he really doesn't have, even on the Republican side, any real challenger with any kind of maybe recognition up there in Leelanau County in that area. But in terms of an effective candidate that could have unseated him, I didn't see that. And do you have any information, Tom, that might lead Bart Stupak to say, you know what, this is going to be too tough of a race, I'm just going to bow out?
Well, as I mentioned before, it's a very Catholic district, very pro-life district, and this vote, there are a number of, I think, Republicans who went across the aisle to vote for him. I think it's been about 5 or 10%. Who, and a number of pro-life Democrats who live in that area, who I think this vote, they disagreed strongly with him, and he would have had a very tough race. Just, the candidate that's in the race, Dr. Benacek, he did raise a lot of money once after Bart Stupak made that vote, but a lot of that came nationally, not from the area. So I would not be surprised if he saw some internal poll numbers. And also figured, I've ticked off the left, I've ticked off the right. There's just no winning in this town.
You spend a lot of time, Tom, looking at Congress for Family Research Council. How are things shaping up in terms of the fallout from the health care reform bill? Is this something the American people, by the time November rolls around, will be ready to forgive and forget and just move on? Or is this going to be problematic for the Democrats in the fall?
I don't see how this isn't problematic. It's one of those things that, I mean, last summer, I know a number of Democrats and a number on the conservative side of the aisle were worried that the town hall meetings and everything else that was pushing this debate, that passion would ebb. I'm not really seeing any of that. I mean, it certainly died down some, but I'm not really seeing it ebb. People are still concerned about this. When Democrats go back into their districts, they usually try to avoid talking about their health care vote, while Republicans, they bring it up every single chance they can to favor and about repealing the bill to favorable reviews. That I don't see how this issue goes away. I mean, it could depend largely on how the Supreme Court vote goes, except I would not be with Justice Stevens also retiring mm-hmm. today, perhaps giving Representative Stupak a little break in the news. But considering the questions of constitutionality on health care, I wouldn't be surprised if health care is also a major part of the Supreme Court debate.
Tom McCluskey, my guest, Senior Vice President of FRC Action, the Family Research Council. And if I'm right, your website is frcaction.org. Have I got that right?
Yes, that's right.
frcaction.org. It's the political action arm of our friends at Family Research Council. You've started this radio campaign. Bart Stupak was originally a part of that, and it was going to air here in Michigan. I'm assuming you're targeting other pro-life, so-called pro-life Democrats in this radio campaign as well, are you not? And is the radio campaign still going on forward in these other districts?
It will still go forward in other districts. We started what we're calling 20 in 10, meaning taking back at least 20 of the votes who voted for this abortion funding bill, taking them out in 2010. I'm sure it won't be that hard to find a name to fill into Representative Stupak's slot. But we'll be in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Arizona, Indiana. And also, we'll be supporting both Republicans and Democrats who voted correctly on this bill, such as Congressman McIntyre and Schuler from North Carolina, and a few others.
And just How many, do you know off the top of your head, Tom, how many so-called pro-life Democrats actually ended up voting with Stupak and voting in favor of the health care bill against their principles on the abortion issue?
Well, when it came down to the wire, Representative Stupak is believed he probably had anywhere from 4 to 6 votes, and that was enough to stop the bill. He was under tremendous pressure. The Democratic leadership bear a lot of the brunt for Representative Stupak retiring. Because it was the pressure that they were putting on these people to vote against their principles was just intense. Except those who switched their votes or didn't vote the pro-life position who did previously, when it came down to the wire, there were about, if I remember correctly, about anywhere about 35 of them. Who changed their votes, and that's one reason why we're targeting them, because we don't care if they're Republican or Democrat, they need to be pro-life, and if they're going to miss the most important vote in this Congress probably in the last 35 years when it comes to abortion, they don't deserve to be there.
What do you think the Stupak announcement, his retirement announcement today, Tom, what kind of message does it send to other Democrats and Republicans who may have switched on this issue and voted really against their constituents? Do you think there's a collective kind of evaluation going on among these folks saying, you know, maybe next time we better pay attention to what our constituents want?
I would not be surprised. And one thing that Representative Stupak did throughout this whole debate, and to his credit, he took a lot of the heat both from the Democratic leadership and from outside forces for being the most vocal person in this debate bringing up the issue of abortion. Now with him gone, people are going to start looking at all these others who were right alongside him saying that they're pro-life and gonna stay until the end, except who folded when it mattered most.
Tom McCluskey is Senior Vice President of FRC Action. Their website, www.frcaction.org. You can keep apprised of everything that's happening on the political front with Family Research Council at their legislative action arm at frcaction.org, and we commend the site to you. Tom, thanks so much for giving us an update on FRC's perspective and all that you're doing on this issue.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having me on.
866-423-WLQV is our phone number, and you can instant message me in studio at the website at godandculture.com. Tigers win 5-2 over the Cleveland Indians. Which pushes their record now to 3-2, ties them with Minnesota, I think. Four and one is their record. What am I saying? 4-1 is the Tigers' record. I am under medical duress. For those of you just joining us, I did have my a tooth extracted yesterday and am in a bit of pain right now. Quite honestly, if I can just be honest with you. My doctor told me, he warned me, he said, it's going to be tough to be moving that jaw up and down, up and down, up and down. Turns out he's right. 866-423-WLQV, 866-423-9578. And the other big announcement today that Tom McCluskey alluded to there from FRC Action is the announcement from John Paul Stevens, who, by the way, is a justice appointed a long, long time ago by Gerald Ford, and was supposed to be a conservative. But then again, Ronald Reagan appointed Sandra Day O'Connor, and, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men go awry. The question becomes, you know, John Paul Stevens says by summer he wants to be done, and of course, the president just got back from Prague selling out the United States of America's defenses on the nuclear armament treaty that he's signing with Russia. The Republicans in the Senate better stand up. I hate to be jumping from subject to subject here, but I saw a tweet earlier today that the Republicans in the Senate probably are prepared to go along with the president on this nuclear disarmament thing. And you're hearing Ronald Reagan's name brought up a lot. Everybody's saying, "Look, Jon Stewart on the Daily Show did it last night." And, you know, making the point that Ronald Reagan also wanted to reduce nuclear arsenals, not in the same way, however, that President Obama is going around. It's comparing apples and oranges. and it is an unfair comparison. And the liberal left only uses Ronald Reagan when they can use him. They don't respect him, but they know that the American people respect him. And so it doesn't bother them a bit to bring out the corpse of Ronald Reagan and put it on display and say Reagan is on our side on this issue, when in reality he's nowhere close to where Barack Obama is on this particular issue. But I digress. The president got back from Prague, and the mainstream media outlets will say, well, he learned of the resignation or retirement of John Paul Stevens, on the plane. This president, as all presidents, I don't care, Republican or Democrat, if somebody on your side on the court is getting ready to bow out, you don't learn about it in midair coming from Prague. He's obviously known about it. He made a statement about it. The president did. The question becomes, who takes the place of John Paul Stevens? Who will President Obama put in his place? Now, the argument we're hearing is, well, look, you know, this president is going to appoint a liberal, and John Paul Stevens is a liberal, so the score's even. So why even bother coming against the nominee for the Supreme Court? As a matter of principle, we have to come against the nominee for Supreme Court because conservatives have to continue to express who they are. The Americans United for Life released a list today of a probable short list that President Obama would be considering, and of course they can know this. The American Life League can know, or Americans United for Life, I should say, AUL, Americans United for Life can know this because we've just gone through this with Sonia Sotomayor, and we knew who was on the short list then. And when we continue here, after we chat with Zudi Jasser, chairman of the board of directors of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, about this radical Islamist who's going to be speaking in Livonia on Sunday, I'll give you Americans United for Life, their short list. And one very important Michigander is on that list. 866-423-WLQV is our phone number if you'd like to engage. You can also send us an instant message in studio at the website. Zudi Jasser, when the Paul Edwards program continues.
Michigan Theological Seminary in Plymouth, Michigan has merged with Moody Bible Institute of Chicago to become Moody Theological Seminary Michigan. MTS Michigan is fully accredited and offers 4 master degree programs, including a Master of Divinity. We also offer a graduate certificate in Bible. Moody Theological Seminary Michigan will increase your knowledge of the Bible, develop your ministry skills, and enrich your Christian life. Receive faculty expertise and guidance that will help you communicate God's Word in your sphere of influence. Interact with others in a vibrant learning environment as you strengthen your Christian leadership skills. This is Dr. Paul Wilson, Associate Dean of Student Services and Chaplain of MTS Michigan. I would like to invite you to visit and experience Moody Theological Seminary, Michigan. Call us today at 888-MTS-2737 or visit us online at mts.edu. That's mts.edu.
What makes the miracles of Jesus even more miraculous? Standing where they happened, in Israel. Come sail the beautiful Sea of Galilee, where Jesus calmed the raging storm. Explore Capernaum, where with just a word, Jesus healed a centurion's suffering servant. Experience Jerusalem, where Jesus restored a paralyzed man at the Pool of Bethesda. Walk in the footsteps of Jesus. See the Bible come alive before your eyes. Sense God's presence like never before. To learn more about standing where it all happened in Israel, visit www.goisrael.com. That's www.goisrael.com. Come visit Israel. You'll never be the same.
Discover the unforgettable motion picture critics everywhere are praising. letters to God.
I just want everybody to believe.
Through one boy's courage.
I'm God's warrior.
His family found hope.
He took Tyler's letter to God to show me what I wasn't seeing.
Through his spirit, one man found a second chance.
I see now that there's more to this life than I could see.
Inspired by a true story.
When people see how strong and brave you are, it makes them take a look at their own lives.
Letters to God is one of the best films you and your family will see all year, raves Phil Boatwright of Preview Online.
I am so proud of you.
You know that God picked you. He picked you to be my mom.
A tribute to faith, hope, and love, says Holly McClure of TBN.
You did this. You helped me find the truth.
See the incredible motion picture that has everyone believing.
Dear God, I think we did it.
Letters to God, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Now playing. Soundtrack in stores March 30th.
Information, commentary, and podcast are always online at godandculture.com. Here again is Paul Edwards on Faith Talk 1500.
I hope you'll partner with me and Truth for Life. Become a Truth Partner. 888-58-TRUTH is the number. $20 a month or more gets you Alistair Begg's Sermon of the Month on CD, plus Spurgeon's Morning by Morning, edited and modernized by Alistair Begg. And I'm looking for five Truth Partners this hour, five of you, that will partner with Alistair Begg to make sure that ministry stays on the air here, heard weekday mornings at 9 a.m. right here on Faith Talk 1500. And we're going to play an extended excerpt from Alistair's Easter sermon this past Sunday in a few moments here on the Paul Edwards program. Again, the number to become a Truth Partner, 888-58-TRUTH, 888-588-7884, or at the special webpage they've set up, truthforlife.org/WLQV. I always appreciate the American Islamic Forum for Democracy keeping me apprised of issues that are relative to us right here in Metro Detroit. I have heard of Tariq Ramadan. I know of his work, but don't know all that much about him. But he is coming to the Detroit area. He's going to be in Livonia this Sunday, and I'm not telling you so that you'll go, other than, I mean, I do want you to go, but not to support him. And to help us understand who Tariq Ramadan is and why we need to be concerned about it, and particularly American Muslims in our very large listening area, there are a very large number of Muslims. And Dr. Zudi Jasser is chairman of the board of directors at the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, and their website is AIFDemocracy.org. And Dr. Jasser, it's great to welcome you back here to Detroit in the Paul Edwards program.
It's nice to be with you, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about who Tariq Ramadan is. As I say, I know very little about him. I know of him, but why do we need to be concerned about his appearance here in Livonia?
Well, I think this is really important. And as far as we're concerned, as a reformist Islamic group that is trying to lead the war of ideas, he's the head of the spear, if you will, of the Western infiltration of the Muslim Brotherhood into the West. Now, he denies affiliation with the Muslim Brotherhood, but here you have a gentleman that has become basically the rock star of political Islam in Europe and has had quite a controversial past in Europe as far as things that he said, including a famous debate he had with now President Sarkozy, where Ramadan had a difficult time outrightly condemning stoning of women and basically said that these things need to have a moratorium and that reform will happen over time. And he says that he's that wishy-washy about it because he wants to work from within the Muslim community and not offend people. And yet if you look at his own lineage, you know, again, the sins of the father should not be visited on the son. But however, it's important in that this guy's grandfather was Hassan al-Banna from Egypt. Tariq came from Egypt. And his grandfather was Hassan al-Banna, who founded the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and became the hundreds of splinter groups across the world, including Hamas and other types of radical Islamist group. Now, as a professor at Oxford and in his tours, the speaking tours that he does around Europe, he talks about moderation. He does talk about nonviolence, so he's certainly not a terrorist. But the issue is that the fuel for terrorism is political Islam, is the goal of the Islamic State. And if you read what this guy believes, and by the way, his last book out just a month ago is the book that he's trying to sell on this tour across the U.S. that he's doing. That book basically, I finished it, and I still don't know what he believes. He's so, I think, slippery on the ideas of what he calls integration of Islam into the West, but yet he's not critical of the areas of Sharia law, which is Islamic law, that is incompatible with the separation of mosque and state, or the church and state, as we know in the West, incompatible with liberty and freedom and our establishment clause, and he doesn't address these things. And this is where Muslims in America, Muslims in Detroit, the Western media and government need to stop just giving this guy a welcome mat as if somehow the Muslims appointed him, and realize that really the only people he speaks to are Muslim Brotherhood types, which are part of the Islamic political movement, which is very different than the spiritual path of Islam that some of us know.
His is his new book, Radical Reform, Islamic Ethics and Liberation, is that his most recent book?
That's a book he, I don't think it's his most recent. He has two books that sort of came out at the same time. There's a Radical Reform, I think that came out earlier in the summer in 09, and now his latest book that came out a month ago is called What I Believe. And that book, he said, was a response to basically the criticisms that I just gave you, is that he's gotten so many criticisms from both the left and the right in Europe, saying that, you know, we thought you were moderate, and yet you've been unclear on this issue and that issue. And if people look on the web, they'll find a number of excellent write-ups. There's a book, for example, by Carolyn Forrest, a reporter from Paris, who wrote a whole book called Brother Tariq, and basically exposing a lot of the differences in what he says to Muslim audiences versus what he says to Western ears, and how that varies. And again, in his book, What I Believe, he still spends one chapter talking about political Islam briefly, but yet says that, well, you know, I'm not going to get into the details of these things because I would basically be doing what my enemies see I should do, and I'm just going to talk about nonviolence and pluralism and all these other vague ideas, that he doesn't talk about the aspects of Sharia law that are oppressive on women, oppressive on other faiths, and are part of current Islamic jurisprudence that need clarity that he just does not give, and is very dangerous because it allows Muslim communities that follow him to get a pass on these ideas, and ultimately in societies where they're, I mean, for example, I'll tell you, Paul, 3 or 4 months ago in the fall, rather, I'm sorry, 6 months ago, he was fired from a position in the Netherlands because he was doing press TV in Iran. He had a weekly religious program in Iran, and when the Netherlands University found out about this, they said, okay, what were you saying on there? And it turned out that he was just talking about Islam 101. He said nothing during the riots about the freedom activists that were being killed. He said nothing. It was basically state-sponsored TV in Iran that he said, well, it really wasn't his role to talk about these things, and he just wanted to talk about Islam and modernization, which was empty. And this is where he's such a dangerous figure.
Dr. Zudig Jasser, my guest. He is the founding member and president of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. Their website, www.aifdemocracy.org. I am reading a review serendipitously. This was something I discovered before I knew that I was even going to be talking with you, Dr. Jasser. And somebody had sent this to me, a review of Tariq's book, Radical Reform. The reviewer's name is Andrew March. I don't know if that means anything to you. But he says early in this review that Ramadan, far from being a crypto-radical or fundamentalist, was able to construct an Islamic ethics for European citizenship almost perfectly along the lines of what a Rawlsian or Habermasian liberal might wish for, entirely from sources and concepts provided by the classical Islamic legal tradition. I think you do probably agree that Ramadan is not a crypto radical or a fundamentalist. You've already said he's not a terrorist, but the notion that he's created an ethic for Islam that would parallel that of Rawls or Habermas, entirely from sources and concepts provided by the classic Islamic legal tradition. Would you concur with that?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I would say that that's deceptive, Because what happens is the term that's used to define Tariq Ramadan, he himself, in an interview with the New York Times Magazine, called himself a Salafi reformist. Salafism to a Muslim means the attempt to bring everything back to the way it was at the time of the Prophet Muhammad. So Salafism are those that believe, you know, the most radical Salafists are those like the Wahhabis that want to do everything exactly the way it was. And then there's the neo-Salafists, or the new type of Salafists, that say that, well, we still believe in the construct of Sharia and government, but we believe in a parliament, we believe in a balance of power, and that the clerics aren't the only ones that can write Sharia. So, you know, at our organization, we call that sort of political Islam 3.0. And to say that somehow he's proving Rawls and these other Western thinkers that actually base their ideas out of reason, not out of scriptural exegesis. And this is where Ramadan is so dangerous, in that he's able to take and maintain the scriptural integrity, which I do as a Muslim too. However, if I'm going to say that government should have no, you know, just like the Christian West abandoned canon law and went to a system based on the separation of church and state, if I am going to say that as a Muslim, you can't do that as a Salafi that wants to return things the way it was under the Prophet Muhammad. Mm-hmm. You have to start talking about invention, which is new ideas into the community that are not based out of scriptural exegesis, but simply based out of an understanding of liberty and freedom, and that religion, to be free, needs to be separated from any type of coercion from government. And what happens is, and what he doesn't answer is, if you have a government run by Islamic law, a Jew or a Christian could not be president of those governments.
Right.
A Jew or a Christian could not write law in there. So therefore, their rights are at the behest of Muslims. And to say that somehow his Salafist derivation of Islamic law could answer those things, I think is not exactly right, and is a bit deceptive. Because if that was true, when Ramadan speaks in Qatar or in other Muslim-majority places, he would be very critical of Sharia and would be saying these things, mm-hmm. and he's not.
Right.
He has basically been trying to represent Sharia in a way that somehow looks great to Westerners, but yet there's no jurisprudential text to back up what he's saying.
My understanding is, Dr. Jasser, that Tariq Ramadan has not been able until now to even enter America because he hasn't been granted a visa. What changed?
That's a great question, and that's exactly why this is so significant. His visit to Chicago and Detroit and all over the country is, you know, we have pejoratively called it the American Islamist Victory Tours, because in 2004, the Bush administration was concerned about his connections to some elements that the French government was concerned of also, in that he had a donation that ultimately went to Hamas that was around $1,000. It wasn't significant, but again, this was a homeland security concern. We had a huge trial in the United States that included the Holy Land Foundation trial, where they were funneling hundreds of thousands of dollars to Hamas, and they were the board members there were proven to be guilty, and that was quite significant. So I think anybody, whether he's a academic or an activist, it's significant that they were, if they were donating money to Hamas, and that was the reason they expressed as to why he was not let in. And he had been given a professorship at Notre Dame as a professor of Islamic studies in 2004, and a few days before, I mean, it wasn't done exactly in the best way, I have to tell you. I mean, in that a few days before he came, he already had his stuff shipped over here. Homeland Security pulled his visa and said that he couldn't come. So basically, over the ensuing years, he became the poster child for whatever he wanted to make of that. And even yesterday in New York at his speech, he said that he wasn't let in because of his beliefs on the Iraq War, which is absurd.
Yes.
Because the majority of the American population agreed with his beliefs,
right,
of the Iraq War, but yet this is the propaganda that he's spreading, and that it wasn't that. And what happened recently is Secretary Clinton, back in January, said that, and again, I was very embarrassed of what she said. I think it was very wrong for her to say this. She said that we're going to release this. We don't prevent people from coming here because we disagree with their ideas, and that she was going to allow him to come and teach us about Islam. And our answer to that is, you know what? He needs to do less teaching us about Islam and more us teaching him about liberty.
Yes.
And how that's different than political Islam.
He's coming to Livonia. Do you have any information about the group that he's going to speak to here in the Detroit area and what his objective is with them?
Well, again, what's happening is he is speaking to mainly Islamist groups. These are many of them Muslim Brotherhood front groups, as was defined in the Holy Land Foundation trial. Many of them were identified as co-conspirators in that trial and had information related to the Brotherhood. And what's happening in Detroit is the sponsor of that event is Sound Vision. And I would tell people to go to Sound Vision's website and see the type of literature that's distributed there. And it includes a lot of literature, very sympathetic and apologetic to political Islam. And you'll see ideas about Sharia and books that I think are very problematic as far as political Islam is concerned and its incompatibility with the ideas that we believe are American. So if you just look at the sponsor of the event in Detroit, I'm concerned, let alone his talk is about jihad. It's about, he feels, the jihad in the heart and trying to redefine what jihad is. And certainly as a Muslim, jihad has multiple meanings. But if you have such a position and such a platform as a leading intellectual in Islamic reform, as his books and other things portrays, what has he done to actually change the ideas that fuel the radicals, to change the ideas that make Muslim youth feel disenfranchised from the society that separates church and state? And I think that he hasn't done that. If anything, he speaks to a Muslim collectivism. He's going to go to these large Muslim gatherings and speak to a group that's basically the choir. He's not speaking to true reform. He's actually speaking to a collectivist mentality of Muslims, almost like you would a political party, like the Brotherhood.
And we should point out, Dr. Jasser, that you yourself are a devout Muslim. You practice the Muslim faith. And you are coming at this as one who wants to not only defend your faith from being obscured by people like Ramadan, but also as one who wants to defend the free principles of the Constitution and protect it from the intrusion of things like Sharia law.
Exactly, and I can't underscore that enough. Which is, in this country, since Muslims are a minority, barely 3-4 million in the population, the Islamist groups, because they're so organized and because they come together by using their faith identity as a political movement, they basically say that Muslims like me are against Islam or we don't practice, etc. But yet, if they look at American history, our founding fathers were very pious Christians that wanted to escape from the Church of England because they felt that their faith could be more pure when it wasn't coerced by government. And yet, if you look at the membership role of the Muslim groups that individuals like Ramadan claim to speak for, there's still a small percentage of the total Muslims in America. So our group speaks to the majority of Muslims in America that don't wear their faith on their sleeve, that wear their character on their sleeve and their morals, but not their faith, and that they go into politics through either the Democratic, Republican Party, they do it through professional avenues, whatever it is, but they don't collectivize their faith in a political movement such as the Muslim Brotherhood, which has as a platform the slow inculcation of Sharia law without reform, without modernization. And I think it's important if we had this debate, Paul, in the Middle East, the Brotherhood is only about 20-30% of the political activity in any of these countries. And there are many Muslims. The majority of Muslims don't want the Brotherhood running their governments, and nobody would look at an anti-Brotherhood Muslim and say that they are somehow un-Islamic. They try to, but it doesn't sell because there's so many others that corral around that idea. But in America, it's been very hard for us to fight the Brotherhood movement because we are still as anti-Islamist and secular Muslims that are more private in our faith, but yet pious. I mean, I pray 5 times a day. I fast. I believe in my scripture. And, this is nothing to do with my spiritual life. It has to do with my political life and the fact that I'm concerned about our national security. And radicalization is increasing exponentially. Last year was the busiest year for Homeland Security since 9/11. And that's because the ideas of those all the way from as extreme from bin Laden and that imam who influenced that soldier Hassan that massacred our fellow citizens, mm-hmm. all the way to the Ramadans that preach nonviolence. They have a lot in common, and that is political Islam.
Tariq Ramadan will be here this weekend, and what you're encouraging is a peaceful confrontation. I mean, to date, evidently, Mr. Ramadan not interested in talking to people like you and having a reasonable discussion about what it is exactly he believes, and that's really what ultimately you'd like to see the majority of Muslims in this country who don't share the radical agenda of Ramadan to actually engage him and make him come out and state clearly what it is he believes.
Exactly. It's interesting how the venues and the platforms that he seeks are always either Muslim organizations that basically, you know, applaud and nod their heads to everything he says, or it's non-Muslims that are apologetic and not critical to look beneath the surface of what he's saying and look at the ideas that he's peddling. And there are many institutions, not only ours, but other institutes in Washington and elsewhere. And yet when he does debate, he takes on those that are either former Muslims or non-Muslims or whatever that make him appear to be the sort of the savior for the Muslim community, which is so far from the truth. It's just very deceptive.
Dr. Zudi Jasser is the president of American Islamic Forum for Democracy. Their website, www.aifdemocracy.org. And if you're just joining us late, talking about Tariq Ramadan coming here to the United States, he's been finally granted a visa after being denied that visa by the Bush administration. The Obama administration is allowing him to come here and teach us about Islam, which is quite frightening. He's going to be in Livonia on Sunday, and you can learn all about who Tariq Ramadan is and why you need to be concerned about his appearance here in our own backyard at the American Islamic Forum for Democracy's website, www.aifdemocracy.org. Zudi, it's always great to chat with you. I look forward to doing it again.
Anytime, Paul. Thanks for having me.
42 minutes after the hour, and I'm feeling in a generous mood. And we are going to right now give you the opportunity to take a friend to the, let's see, we're going to give away four pair of tickets to four different callers. Is that what you're telling me? Or one caller? Four different callers. How about this? The first four callers. The very first four callers at 866-423-9578, 866-423-WLQV. I'm going to give you two tickets to the first four callers to the DTE Energy Music Theater's Christian Concert Series. Kicks off on June 25th with Toby Mac and Chris Tomlin, and then August the 8th with Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant. And then closes on September 19th with Stephen Curtis Chapman in Third Day. And you get to go to all three concerts. All three concerts. And we've got our four winners. So thanks very much for trying. But if you're on hold right now and you're hearing my voice, you are one of our winners. If you're trying to get through on the phone lines, we encourage you to try again. But this concert series gets underway June 25th, not try again today, when we tell you to try again. Toby Mac and Chris Tomlin on June 25th, Michael W. Smith, Amy Grant on August the 8th, Stephen Curtis Chapman in Third Day on September 19th. One ticket gets you into all three concerts, and you can get your tickets at palacenet.com, the Palace box office, or by calling 248-377-0100, 248-377-0100. 0100. The Paul Edwards program continues here on Faith Talk 1500. 866-423-WLQV is our phone number. 866-423-9578 if you'd like to engage us in a conversation. And when I get Steve's attention, we'll pay some bills here. Steve's kind of juggling several jobs here. We're going to take that break now that we need to take.
Pastors, mark your calendars for Thursday, April 15th. That's right, Tax Day is the day for the 2010 Pastor Appreciation Luncheon, brought to you by Detroit Rescue Mission Ministries and the Israel Ministry of Tourism. This year's featured speaker is the distinguished Dr. Erwin Lutzer of Moody Bible Church in downtown Chicago. Register now for this great event. Remember, it's absolutely free to pastors and pastoral staff. So go to faithtalk1500.com and click on the registration link in the middle of the page and hold your place right now. It's our way of saying thanks for all of your work for the gospel of Christ in southeastern Michigan. So come, renew your old friendships, start a few new ones, and be blessed by the words of Dr. Erwin Lutzer of the Moody Bible Church. The Pastor Appreciation Luncheon is brought to you by Game Courts of Michigan and Presbyterian Villages of Michigan and Faith Talk 1500 WLQV.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get how to turn your child's attitude around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-217-9318. 1-800-217-9318. Call now. 1-800-217-9318.
You're listening to the Paul Edwards Program on Faith Talk 1500.
866-423-WLQV is the phone number. And, of course, you can instant message us in studio at the website at godandculture.com. You know, last Sunday was Easter Sunday. And if there ever is an opportunity when churches really have a phenomenal opportunity to present the gospel to unbelievers, it would have to be Easter Sunday. Many Americans attend church twice a year. Easter and Christmas. And on Easter Sunday, there is a real opportunity to not pull any punches and to give the gospel. Sadly, my fear is with where the church is in terms of the whole church growth movement and not wanting to offend, many churches will use Easter Sunday not as an opportunity to present the gospel so much at, not that they don't not present the gospel, but they will not use it primarily as an opportunity to present the gospel as much as they will use it as an opportunity to present their ministries. Look at us. We do an extra good job of cleaning the facility, maybe, making sure the parking lot is in order. First impressions are everything. We want to make first impressions on these first-time visitors, many of whom have never darkened the door of our church before. And so I think there's a danger. And I'm not saying this is across the board true, but I think for the most part on Easter Sunday, we try to put our best face forward, to make a good impression, to attract people who otherwise may not know much about our ministry. And in the process, we don't necessarily downplay the gospel, but we don't put an emphasis on the gospel. I'll tell you, Alistair Begg doesn't do that. I love going to Parkside Church on Easter Sunday. It's been years since I've had an opportunity to do it. Something about me having some other obligations of my own on Easter Sunday. But when I was not a pastor for about 2 years in the late 90s, I was able to attend Parkside Church's Easter services. And the thing that always impressed me is, number one, they did put their best face forward. They did an excellent job. All the services were packed. You had to come early to get a seat. The music was phenomenal. The ushers were great in greeting you. You felt welcomed. But the thing that I've always appreciated about Parkside Church is the pulpit and the fact that Alistair Begg does not pull any punches. And it was the same this past Sunday. He preached a message last Sunday titled "A Hope That Stands the Test of Time." He took his text from 1 Peter chapter 1. And it was a phenomenal exposition of 1 Peter chapter 1. But I love the way, for lack of a better phrase, this is me characterizing Alistair, that I don't think Alistair would characterize himself this way. I love the way how he doesn't hesitate to get in the face of these visitors and to say to them, look, you're here looking for something. And we hope you find it, but we hope you recognize that it's Jesus. You know, the Christian life isn't something that you just wake up one morning and decide you want to start living. This is why I've been asking you for the last couple of weeks here to become a truth partner with Alistair Begg. I'm going to play about a 7-minute clip of last Sunday's message. It's about a 35-minute message. The other thing that I love about Parkside Church and Truth for Life is they give you this stuff free. You can actually stream the entire service from start to finish at parksidechurch.com. The full choir and orchestra, if you love worship music, you can just go to parksidechurch.com. And right there on the homepage is the sermon with Alistair Begg, A Hope That Stands the Test of Time, either video or audio. And I encourage you to listen to it. But I also encourage you to become a truth partner. This kind of ministry, to be able to offer this kind of media, costs money. And it's people like me and you, when we partner with Alistair Begg, that make this possible. And while this is playing, I'm looking for 5 listeners right now, 5 of you, who will say, I will partner with this man, who is so forthright with the gospel, who is not afraid to get in the face of unbelievers and tell the truth as it is. I will partner with this man for a gift of $20 a month, $30 a month, $50 a month. You can partner with Alistair Begg and Truth for Life, heard weekday mornings right here at 9 a.m. on Faith Talk 1500. The number to call to do that is 888-58-TRUTH, 888-588-7884. 888-588-7884. I'm looking for 5 listeners in the next 7 minutes while you're listening to Alistair Begg preach. Would you become a truth partner with Alistair Begg? For a minimum gift of just $20 a month, Alistair will send you the CD of the Sermon on the Month. Plus, you're going to get the one-time gift of Spurgeon's Morning by Morning, edited and modernized by Alistair Begg himself. But you also get the joy of knowing that you are partnering with a wonderful man of God who is not afraid of preaching the truth. You can also give securely online at the special webpage that's been set up by Truth for Life, truthforlife.org/WLQV. truthforlife.org/WLQV, or you can call right now toll-free, 888-58-TRUTH, looking for 5 listeners who will make a minimum gift of just $20 a month and partner with Truth for Life as a truth partner. Here's about a 7-minute excerpt. We pick it up in the middle of the message where I think Alistair Begg is demonstrating what pastors ought to be doing when they have an opportunity to talk to people who may be in church for the very first time.
In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. So there are 2 foundational elements to the hope of which he writes and the reality of hope in the Christian life. 1, the mercy or the grace of God, which has nothing to do with our achievements or attainments. And 2, the reality, the historicity, the anchor-based conviction that Jesus Christ is alive. If you are a Christian today, then you have been removed from the realm of hopelessness. That is one of the distinguishing features of a Christian. When Paul writes about it to the Ephesians, he says, you were once without God and without hope in the world. That's what you were. He says, but now, since you are in Christ, you live in the realm of those who are filled with hope. The Christian, a genuine Christian, is not someone who has decided just to be a little bit better. There are a lot of people who are a lot better, and some of them are a lot better a lot of the time than those who are genuine Christians. That's always a little worrying, but it's a fact. I know a lot of really, really nice people who are better than me a lot of the time. Well, you say, then, what is your Christianity? Well, it is founded in grace and in mercy. If you had to be a better person in order to be accepted, then some of my friends would have been accepted long before me. But it's when you're a stinker that you're accepted on the basis of God's grace. You see, many people think if there is a God and he's paying attention to anything at all, then if he is a good God, then he will reward nice people for doing their best. But that's not what Peter is saying here. No, he's saying that this living hope is found not in the person who has decided to become better, or the immoral person who's decided to turn over a new leaf, or the person who's been largely secular getting into, quotes, spirituality. All of that may be done by human endeavor. But this cannot be done by human endeavor. What he's describing here is something that is done by God in us, not done by us for God. In, he speaks of it as a birth. And it is a birth that takes place on the basis of what Jesus has done. The hope is found in the death of Jesus. So, as we sang, I stand in Christ with sins forgiven. And Christ in me, the hope of heaven. That's what he's saying. That it is because of what has happened in that which we commemorate on Good Friday, and what has been achieved in the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday, that the Christian has a living hope, because their confidence is placed there. It is a living hope because Jesus is alive, and a Christian is someone who has been united with Jesus, both in his death for sin and in his resurrection, and because Jesus is alive, therefore I am alive. The Christian is not the person that he or she once was. That is something that many of us have a difficult time getting our heads around, because we've tended to think that a Christian experience is something that we adopt. We get up one morning and decide, I think I ought to do this. You know, I think I ought to be a better person, more moral, get church into my life. After all, you know, it's Easter Sunday. This is as good a time to start as any. And it's a wonderful desire, but it will not bring about the change. You can no more make yourself a Christian than you could make yourself alive. When you were born, were you surprised? Oh, you say, I don't remember. I can guarantee you were surprised. When they gave you the old pow and you did the wow, there you said, now you entered a world that you never knew. You had people looking at you that spoke a language that you didn't understand. You entered into an entirely new sphere. And that was something that came about as a result of the agencies entirely beyond ourselves and over which we had no control. Isn't it interesting that that's the very terminology that Jesus uses with the religious man Nicodemus, and Peter picks up here to describe a genuine Christian? You have been born anew. A transformation has been taking place inside of you that is not engendered by you, but is as a result of the regeneration which God granted you on account of his mercy and guaranteed in his resurrection. In England, they make some funny assignments. I mean, the UK, they make funny assignments for homework. And one teacher set the class the responsibility of going away to discover where they had come from. And so the boy had gone home from school and asked his grandpa where his mother came from and how she emerged. And the grandfather, not wanting to really get into things, said that a stork had come and brought her and left her in the family room. And so the boy said, okay, fair enough. He went to his mom and he asked his mom, where did I come from? And she gave him the stork story as well. And he went to an older brother who was married and they had a little one. And he said, where did the little one come from? And they said, yeah, it was a stork. It brought it to our family room. So he wrote his paper and took it back. And the teacher read it and it said, I went home and I conducted my investigation. And I'm forced to conclude that there hasn't been a natural birth in our family for four generations. Some people are attending church with great zeal, but there's been no birth, no regeneration. The hanging on of Christmas ornaments that look Christian, but no life in the inside. There's no living hope in that. There's no living hope in that. That will not stand the test of time. That will not face the beckoning grave. No, the only way that we're ever put right to anticipate that, put right with God, is a result of his mercy and in the power of his resurrection.
That's Alistair Begg, teacher on Truth for Life, heard weekday mornings here at 9 a.m. on Faith Talk 1500. He's also the senior pastor at Parkside Church in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, suburban Cleveland. And it's for preaching like that, my friends, that I love Alistair Begg and consider him my pastor. Probably no one, I mean, a lot of guys have had influence on me, but probably no one has made me want to be more liturgical in my approach to what happens during a Sunday morning worship service than Alistair Begg. And I love the way that's from last Sunday. He's talking to an Easter Sunday crowd, an overflow crowd in his own church, many of whom are there for the first time, and he doesn't pull any punches. He straight up gives the gospel and says, you know, you don't make yourself a Christian. It's like you don't make yourself be born. You don't make yourself be born again. This is a work of regeneration that God produces in our hearts. And this is why I'm urging you to join me and become a truth partner today. We want to be sure that that kind of preaching stays on the airwaves of Faith Talk 1500 and in other places all across the United States of America. And for a gift of just $20 a month, a minimum gift of $20 a month, you can become a truth partner where you will join Alistair in partnering with him for vital prayer support and certainly vital financial support. And every month you'll get an update on their ministry. You'll receive a CD with Alistair's message of the month. And the initial gift you'll receive is Spurgeon's Morning by Morning devotional, which has been updated and modernized by Alistair Begg himself. And so I'm asking you to join me and a lot of other WLQV listeners to become truth partners today. And the number to call right now, they're waiting for your call. It's toll-free, 888-58-TRUTH, 888-588-7884. Some can give $20 a month, some can give $30, some can give $50. I know there's listeners that could give $100 a month. Please support this vital ministry. This program airs every morning right here on Faith Talk 1500 at 9 a.m. I hope you're able to tune in. If you miss any program, you can get it at oneplace.com. You can get it at truthforlife.org. But I'm asking you to join with me, partner with me and Alistair Begg, and support this ministry financially, because the reality is it costs money for broadcast time. And these are the kind of messages that we want on our air. But it takes listeners like you to keep this kind of programming on our air. And so please join me and become a truth partner right now. Someone's waiting for your call right now at 888-58-TRUTH, 888-588-7884. You can also give securely online at a brand new website that's been set up by Truth for Life, www.truthforlife.org/WLQV. That's also linked at our website at faithtalk1500.com. More of the Paul Edwards program coming up here on Faith Talk 1500.
This is Faith Talk 1500, WLQV Detroit, a service of Salem Communications.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Rescue crews in West Virginia returning underground to search for four missing coal miners. Meanwhile, families started burying the first of the 25 victims of Monday's explosion. President Obama says it will not be possible to replace the experience or wisdom of Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens. Stevens, who turns 90 later in the month, announced today that he'll be retiring at the end of the current term this summer. Sarah Palin continues to snipe at President Obama over nuclear policy. At a Republican conference in New Orleans, a former vice presidential candidate mocked the vast nuclear experience Mr. Obama acquired as a community organizer. An update on Wall Street to close the week. The Dow gained 70 points, ending the day at 10,997. More details at srnnews.com.
This is the sound of a TV. When it's turned off. Because the whole family's in the backyard having fun. When you spend less to get your yard ready at Walmart, you could have more of that. It's rollback time at Walmart. Now you can get Scott's Turf Builder, Pennington Grass Seed, and Spectracide Bug Killer for less. You can also save on a Brute Mower by Briggs & Stratton and a Poulon Pro Trimmer. That sounds good to me. Save money, live better. Walmart.
Honey, I bought you a new 5% cash back.
That's a toothbrush.
I also picked you up a can of 5% cash back.
Shaving cream?
Introducing 5% cash back when you use Chase Freedom for eligible purchases at drugstores today.
I also got some of those chocolate-covered 5% cash backs you like.
Now that sounds good.
Only Chase Freedom comes with 5% cash back and Blueprint, a way to avoid interest on everyday items. This is more than a cash back card. It's freedom. Enroll now at chase.com/freedom.
Chase credit cards issued by Chase Bank USA N.A. and are subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 120,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy and major car companies filing for bankruptcy, Cover America Auto Care has announced revolutionary, inexpensive mechanical breakdown coverage that is now available to the general public to save consumers thousands on auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for drivers to call who own a vehicle that is less than 10 years old for a free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number is 800-320-6294. Drivers who are covered with this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair again. This is the auto coverage now sweeping across America at a fraction of what dealerships charge and is now available to the public by calling today. The number to call is 800-320-6294. 800-320-6294. That's 800-320-6294.
You have a mortgage and a load of other debt. Wouldn't it be great if it all just went away? No More Mortgage can change your life.
We paid off all of our bills.
All your debt, including your mortgage, in as little as 9 years?
With No More Mortgage, we will have saved over $313,000 in interest payments.
Even have more money left over each month?
It lowered our monthly payments by a little over $500.
No More Mortgage.
Where have they been all of our life?
If you knew about something like that, you'd want to tell everybody.
Whenever I have a friend or someone that needs this service, I give them the number.
I'm Larry Ruff, president of No More Mortgage. This is unlike anything you have ever seen before, and it will absolutely not harm your credit. Call for your free CD. Learn how you can eliminate all your debt, including your mortgage, much sooner than you ever dreamed possible. The more debt you have, the more we can help.
Call for your free CD now. 800-578-9516.
This works. Call the number.
Call now for your free CD. 800-578-9516. 800-578-9516.
From the Center for the Study of God and Culture and the studios of Faith Talk 1500, it's the Paul Edwards Program. Information, commentary, and podcast are always online at godandculture.com. Now, here's your host, Paul Edwards.
Welcome back into the second hour of the Paul Edwards Program, all across southeastern Michigan, northwest Ohio, and parts of Ontario, Canada, where the phone lines are open for the full hour here, 866-423-WLQV, whatever's on your mind. Be happy to chat with you. I've probably gotten more response from yesterday's best of than anything we've ever done. I should probably take more days off. I got several emails from folks saying, what was this you were talking about? And reminding me that I need to keep the website updated so you can stay on top of all this stuff. So if you'd like to engage us here about something we've talked about in the past, the phone line certainly open, 866-423-9578, and online at godandculture.com, where you can instant message me. I appreciate the overwhelming outpouring of care and support in the wake of my dental surgery yesterday. I think I got two emails. And that was they were yeah, and one was from the dentist, right? They just very kind of the two listeners to notice that I was gone. Appreciate that very, very much. And I did have dental surgery yesterday. It went well, and this is why sometimes I sound like I'm swallowing hard. Sometimes I sound like I'm talking with a swollen tongue. Not that my tongue was feeling quite swollen yesterday. Not feeling so much swollen now. Everything was going great until the numbing wore off, and then it came time for the medicine to kick in. So, doing well, and appreciate the concern that you've expressed, and I do want to express my thanks to let's see, Dr. Brian Johnson and his staff for taking care of me yesterday. Appreciated that very, very much. 866-423-WLQV. Yes, Tiger Woods has returned to the golf course. I'm sure by now you've either seen or heard about this Nike ad that Tiger Woods did. The way he's standing there in front of the screen makes me wonder if they didn't just say to him, stand here and look stoic for 60 seconds. Just stand and look stoic. And, of course, in the background, the voiceover is the voice of Tiger Woods' own father. Tiger Woods' father's been dead, 2 years? And a lot of people are creeped out by this. I think it's crass commercialism run amok, quite frankly. But I'd love to know what you think. 866-423-WLQV. Of course, last November is when Tiger Woods had had his run-in with a tree. Tiger had his run-in with the tree. I think he had a run-in with his own golf club at the hands of his wife. I've got a great oral facial surgeon that I could recommend to Tiger Woods if he ever needs one. The way, you know, in the aftermath of all of this, it was like we were never going to hear from Tiger Woods again for months. You know, it seemed like it was going to be early next year before Tiger Woods hit the greens again. I was rather surprised to learn that Tiger Woods was actually going to make the Masters. But this commercial that he has cut seems to me to be using his father. And I want to know if you agree with me or not. 866-423-WLQV. I'm going to play you the audio. Obviously, you can't see it, but just imagine Tiger Woods in his Nike sweater just standing there looking at the camera. He doesn't even look as if he's being scolded. It is not clear whether or not Tiger Woods actually was hearing the audio as the film was going on. My guess is they put him up against a blue screen and said, stand here for 60 seconds and don't do anything. Just look at the camera. And while he was looking at the camera, this is what they put in as the voiceover. This is the voice of Tiger Woods' dead father.
I am more prone to be inquisitive, to promote discussion. I want to find out what your thinking was. I want to find out what your feelings are. And did you learn anything?
And that's the way the commercial ends. What is that, 30 seconds? Tiger Woods standing stoically looking into the camera. And you've got to know that Earl Woods, when he spoke those words, was not speaking those words in relation to Tiger's personal life, particularly in relation to all of these alleged accusations of affairs and so forth. And so is this an abuse of Tiger Woods' father's voice? 866-423-WLQV, 866-423-9578. It seems to me that Nike is misusing Tiger Woods' father's voice there to make it appear as if his father would just say, hey, what have you learned from all this? The disciplinarian that Earl Woods was, and certainly none of us can be armchair on this and say this is exactly how Earl Woods would have responded to his son's crisis. But you know what? I'm a father, and certainly I would want to be compassionate and understanding. But given the extremity and the severity of these allegations against Tiger Woods, given his admission of the wrongdoing that he's guilty of, I have a hard time believing that Earl Jones would just sit Tiger down and so Earl Jones, I'm sorry, Earl Woods would sit Tiger down and say, what have you learned from this? I'm not interested in anything but knowing what you've learned from this. I got to believe that Earl Woods would probably have some pretty strong words for his son. But it seems to me that Nike, and they're getting all kinds of criticism and all kinds of praise, you know, it's running the gamut. It's probably about 50-50, where some are saying, yeah, it's creative, it's attention getting, it's a great ad, and the others are saying it's creepy, it's a misuse of Earl Wood's voice, it is crass commercialism in the worst possible sense. I mean, why would Nike want to even try to capitalize on Tiger's behavior in this way? Does this make you more prone to buy a Nike product? Is Nike trying to capitalize on the behavior, the bad behavior of Tiger Woods? Can you imagine getting paid for bad behavior like this? I mean, I wonder how much Tiger Woods gets from his Nike contract. 866-423-WLQV is our phone number. 866-423-9578. Sort of kind of like confessing to your elders that your marriage is about to fall apart and they give you 8 months off with pay. 866-423-9578. Your thoughts on the Nike ad and Tiger Woods. Is it appropriate? Is it inappropriate? 16 minutes after the hour, your calls when we continue.
What if you were asked, do you have a family member or friend whose life has been impacted by cancer? And what if you were asked, does your church or fellowship have a specific ministry for those struggling with cancer? Inspired by the Letters to God movie, we are on a mission to change that. Join us to ministering hope to children and families across our community by gifting $25, $40, or even $50 to Give Kids the World. Give Kids the World is a nonprofit, whimsical village for children with cancer and their families. Give Kids the World helps create the happiness that inspires hope for children with cancer. Won't you involve your small group in the life-transforming ministry of giving hope? Visit this station's website or givekidstheworld.org to share the miracle of hope with children struggling with cancer. Please give to help create happiness that inspires hope for children with cancer. Visit this station's website or givekidstheworld.org to share the miracle of hope with children struggling with cancer. Every dollar helps. Letters to God movie and Give Kids the World thanks you.
Colorize your world with Essentially Sabrina, Saturdays at 6 p.m., only on the new Faith Talk 1500 WLQV. Join me, Detroit, Dr. Sabrina Jackson.
Essentially Sabrina, Saturdays at 6 p.m. on Faith Talk 1500 WLQV.
Your congregation depends on you for powerful sermons. At SermonSearch.com, you can access over 20,000 sermons with transcripts from Charles Stanley, Adrian Rogers, Ed Young, and more. Worship backgrounds, PowerPoint, and video illustrations. It's all searchable by Bible reference, keyword, and author. SermonSearch.com will help you become a more effective communicator with the latest multimedia technology for dynamic church services. Visit SermonSearch.com for your free 30-day trial and start downloading free. That's SermonSearch.com. SermonSearch.com.
When is the last time you stopped to consider God's view of our world? Every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m., Pastor Brad Smith looks at our world from God's point of view. Our World, His View is the radio program that delves into the issues facing families, individuals, and the church in our world, bringing the Lutheran perspective of God's view to shape the discussion. Join us each Saturday morning right here at Faith Talk 1500, or send us your questions or comments through our website, ourworldhisview.com.
The Equip for Life team asked our audience why they listen to Equip for Life with Pastor Christopher Brooks.
Pastor Christopher Brooks deals with a lot of issues regarding our culture. It's an on-the-go resource in order to be able to find the proper thing to say when I'm dealing with other religions. It helps me with evangelism. It's a blessing not only to get that word for myself, but also when I'm in contact with other people that I want to give God's word to.
Equip for Life with Pastor Christopher Brooks can be heard Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on AM 1500 WLQV.
Welcome back to the Paul Edwards Program. Remember, information, commentary, and podcast are always online at godandculture.com. Here again is Paul Edwards.
19 minutes after the hour, the phone line's open, 866-423-WLQV. Have you got the Earl Woods audio there again? Let's fire the Earl Woods audio. Here is the Nike ad audio that is playing behind a very stoic-looking Tiger Woods, seeming to be getting a lecture from his father about the current controversy around Tiger Woods. And of course, we know that can't be true because Earl Woods has been dead for 2 years, but yet this Nike ad's being it's being widely praised and it's being widely panned. It's being criticized. Some people think it's a great work of art. Other people say, you know, it's kind of morbid to bring Earl Woods' voice into Tiger Woods. You know what? My dad has been dead. Let's see, it'll be 7 years this September. If anything of this magnitude ever happens to me, if I ever bring public scandal, please don't use my dad's voice. I can't imagine why Tiger Woods would allow his dad to even be brought into this scandal, particularly given the fact that his dad has been dead for 2 years. It would seem to me that that Tiger would not want his father's memory besmirched by bringing his dead dad's voice into it, and to give the impression that his dad would simply kind of just say, okay, what have you learned from this? I'll tell you, my dad wouldn't just say, what have you learned from this? My dad would be greatly disappointed. Multiple affairs, and the kind of shame that that Tiger Woods has brought upon not only himself but his family. And it just seems like Tiger and Nike are using a good man, Earl Woods, to make money. Now, you're free to disagree, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. 866-423-WLQV, 866-423-9578. Here again is Earl Woods.
Tiger, I am more prone to be inquisitive, to promote discussion. I want to find out what your thinking was. I want to find out what your feelings are. And did you learn anything?
You know, Tiger's thinking, Tiger's feelings, whether or not Tiger learned anything, those words spoken by Earl Woods were not spoken in relation to this event. So how can Nike justify using them? And has Tiger brought shame on his father by trying to make money off of his dad's voice? 866-423-WLQV, 866-423-9578. Keith in Detroit, I'm glad you called, Keith. Welcome.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
I'm well. Thanks.
Good. I kind of got mixed feelings with the whole topic, because I think first we have to look at it from this standpoint. Tiger doesn't confess Christ. The route that he took as far as his whole entire apology regarding the matter had no focus on Christ, Christianity, or being part of the body.
Yep.
We as believers, we are part of the body. So we have to look at this as the world taking care of the world.
Hmm.
And they're going to do whatever they see fit, because the bottom line is money. And whatever else goes along with making more money, more money, more money. So as the body of believers, as we are, I think it's a true waste of time to even have this type of discussion. And then to say something in regards to his father on if he would look at it this way or that way. His mother is alive, and evidently it's not bothering her, because she hasn't made any type of public statement. So I think as the body of Christ as a whole, I think we could just find so many other topics to talk about, and we should just leave Tiger and his family in prayer and just move on.
Keith, good points. Appreciate you making them. Thanks so much. 866-423-WLQV. James in Detroit. Welcome, James.
Thank you. You know, there's so many other things going on in the world. You have people trapped in mines. You have earthquakes and plenty of other things. I don't think this is worth really even discussing. I mean, there are other things that are out there that are more important. And I just don't really get this topic at all. I mean,
well, the reason I'm bringing it up, James, is because Tiger Woods has a great reputation, or at least had before last November in this scandal the last several months, and this goes to character. I mean, do we really want our young men to see Tiger Woods and hear this spot and to hear Tiger's father just kind of talking to Tiger as if this is really no big deal. Just tell me what you've learned from it. I mean, that's my point in bringing this up, because I'm concerned about a generation of young men that are going to come up who admire Tiger Woods, and they hear the voice of Tiger's dad talk to him as if this is really no big deal. And that's what I'm interested in knowing from the audience, if maybe I'm reading too much into it.
Yeah, I think you are. I think you could be impressed people by helping the situation out, all these problems we have in the world. And I think, you know, it's sort of like just throwing stones, you know?
Yeah, well, I certainly don't mean to be throwing stones, because those who live in glass houses shouldn't. And I've got plenty of sins of my own, and that's not my point. My point is this the right? Is this a respectable way to have Tiger Woods' father's voice, as if Tiger Woods' father really is nonchalant about the whole thing? Just tell me what you've learned. 866-423-WLQV. Chris in Detroit. Chris, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Chris.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good. You were talking about Tiger Woods. Right now, I'm a young student. I'm currently attending Oakland Community College, and I'm currently taking a world religion class. And in our class, we were studying Buddhism. And I understand that that's the religion that Tiger Woods is.
Yes.
And one of the unique things about it was we were talking in the class about how their ancestors or family members, when they pass away, how through reincarnation, because they believe in reincarnation, they believe that that's what they get inspiration from. So when I saw that commercial, I immediately knew, that's a Buddhist. You know, part of his Buddhist practice, that this is his father speaking wisdom to him, because, you know, they don't believe in God the way we believe in God, because we believe that, you know, God speaks to us and give our direction for our life, where with him, their direction comes from their ancestors. So when I saw that, I like totally got it.
That's a great observation, Chris, and I'm glad you shared that with us. Thanks so very much. I had not made the Buddhist connection at all to that ad, but now that you think about it, black and white, very stoic. It does have the whole who's the grasshopper guy? They just committed suicide. Didn't commit. It was killed. Found hanging in his. Come on, I ought to know this. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Kung Fu, the guy that played in Kung Fu. 866-423-WLQV. Carradine, David Carradine, that's exactly the kind of feel that the Tiger Woods Nike ad has to it. Very Buddhist, very Eastern, very mystical. 28 minutes after the hour, John and Elder Gunn, hang on for me. I want your thoughts at 866-423-WLQV.
The grip of frantic hands tears Jesus from his sleep. The boat lurches to its side with a violent swell from the angry sea. Lightning cracks the sky as gale force winds force men to hang on. Voices cry out as the disciples struggle to secure the battered sails. Panic fills the boat. Faces, wet with rain and washed with fear, turn towards Jesus in desperation. He rises to his feet and leans into the storm. Peace, be still. Nature obeys, and astonished hearts take rest.
What makes the miracles of Jesus even more miraculous? Standing where they happen, in Israel. For more information about visiting Israel, call 1-888-77-ISRAEL or visit www.goisrael.com. When you visit Israel, you'll never be the same.
You'll never be the same.
You have a mortgage and a load of other debt. Wouldn't it be great if it all just went away? No More Mortgage can change your life.
We paid off all of our bills.
All your debt, including your mortgage, in as little as 9 years?
With No More Mortgage, we will have saved over $313,000 in interest payments.
Even have more money left over each month?
It lowered our monthly payments by a little over $500.
No More Mortgage.
Where have they been all of our life?
If you knew about something like that, you'd want to tell everybody.
Whenever I have a friend or someone that needs this service, I give them the number.
I'm Larry Ruff, president of No More Mortgage. This is unlike anything you have ever seen before, and it will absolutely not harm your credit. Call for your free CD. Learn how you can eliminate all your debt, including your mortgage, much sooner than you ever dreamed possible. The more debt you have, the more we can help.
Call for your free CD now. 800-578-9516.
This works. Call the number.
Call now for your free CD. 800-578-9516. 800-578-9516.
You're listening to the Paul Edwards Program on Faith Talk 1500.
Back to the phones we go. 866-423-WLQV. John in Detroit, thanks for waiting, John. Welcome.
Yeah, I just, like the other two callers, I disagree with this show totally, because, I mean, I've listened to your show in the past, and it just seems like you spew out hatred for the African-American community. And
how is this hatred for the African-American community?
You do.
How is this hatred for the African-American community?
Because you try to find any topic about any African-American.
Tiger Woods isn't an African-American. Tiger Woods is not an African-American.
What nationality are you?
Tiger Woods is not an African-American.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know what you're talking about, John. And I always find it interesting when people like you call this program and say you never listen to the program. What are you calling the program for? And don't mess with me. I'm on drugs today. 866-423-WLQV. Elder Gunn, welcome.
God bless you, Paul. You are too much.
I knew
so
I could.
First of all, I don't know whether Tiger Woods is an African American or not, but I know he's an unregenerate heathen.
Yeah.
And he comes from a family of idol worshipers. And so his motivations are something other than believers. We as believers, we have a very strict ethic. And as one of your earlier callers said, the motive behind the Earl Woods thing and the Nike thing is money. And so last week you were speaking about John Piper. I would be more inquisitive about his motives than I would about Tiger Woods because he is a godless heathen, and he's going to do what a godless heathen does. And by the way, I want you to know that I am very much a follower of his golf play. So, I don't want anybody to think that I just hate the guy. No, I'm a Christian. And I have a Christian ethic and a Christian worldview. He has a Buddhist worldview, which is idol worship. Are you following me, Paul?
I'm absolutely following you. And really, Elder Gunn, you point to exactly why I bring this up. We've got so many racist callers like John who want to make me out to be racist.
Well, I heard that. But, many years ago when I was became the saved individual, when I was regenerated, I stopped looking at black and white and yellow and red. There are righteous men and there are evil men, and the righteous men are children of and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what I look at. Sin is sin. I don't care who commits it. Tiger Woods is a worldly person, and he does what a worldly person does. The fornication, the adultery, the lying, all of those things are outpourings of a worldview, and that worldview is humanism.
And
are you with me, Paul?
Yep, and in Tiger's case, it's also Eastern mysticism and Buddhism. Elder, as always, I'm up against a break here, but I appreciate so much what you've said here. Again, I don't bring up Tiger Woods because of his race. I'm so sick of you people. Yes, I did say that. I'm so sick of you people who call here and accuse me of being racist. I'm not talking about Elder Gunn. I'm talking about these other callers who simply want to say that the only reason I bring up Tiger Woods is because he's black. He's not black! Give me a break! He isn't black! He's not African-American! So before you take the time to dial the toll-free number that I'm paying for, get your facts straight. 34 minutes after the hour, 866-423-WLQV. Yes, I am on drugs, and I am in pain, and so don't mess with me. 866-423-9578. The Paul Edwards Program continues.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 120,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy and major car companies filing for bankruptcy, Cover America Auto Care has announced revolutionary, inexpensive mechanical breakdown coverage that is now available to the general public to save consumers thousands on auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for drivers to call who own a vehicle that is less than 10 years old for a free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number is 800-320-6294. Drivers who are covered with this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair again. This is the auto coverage now sweeping across America at a fraction of what dealerships charge and is now available to the public by calling today. The number to call is 800-320-6294. 800-320-6294. That's 800-320-6294.
Are your kids disrespectful and defiant? Mine were too. My name is Geraldine Lewis. My kids fought with me constantly. They threw things and slammed doors when I told them no. One day, my husband heard an ad on the radio for James Lehman's Total Transformation. We ordered it and the behavior changed immediately. Our kids are calmer and more respectful now. There's no more arguing and screaming, all because we know how to handle them now. Even their teachers can't believe the difference. Before this program, we couldn't even go to restaurants without an outburst. Now, we go out to eat and even took our first family vacation, and it was great. When I told James Lehman about my family, he asked me to be a spokesperson and share our story. I agreed, because if one family can turn around the way we did with the Total Transformation, it's worth it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-593-3750. 1-800-593-3750. It's guaranteed, so call now. 1-800-593-3750.
1 Kings 4 tells us, men of all nations came to listen to Solomon's wisdom sent by all the kings of the world. We live more in an age of information than one that seeks wisdom. Our World, His View, searches out God's wisdom for our world today. Tune in Saturday mornings at 9 for Pastor Brad Smith's interviews with those who have studied God's Word as it applies to our world today. Our World, His View, Saturdays, 9 a.m. on Faith Talk 1500.
Worked out yet, and I've lost 32 pounds.
Sunday loves the Meta System. Can it do this for you?
The first month I lost 20 pounds, and then the second month I lost about 12. That is without working out, and it is the whole essence of the word awesome.
Don't wait another minute to start losing weight. Call Judy Singer's The Meta System at 1-800-711-JUDY. That's 1-800-711-JUDY.
You're listening to the Paul Edwards Program on Faith Talk 1500.
866-423-WLQV is the phone number. And, of course, you can instant message us in studio at the website at godandculture.com. You know, last Sunday was Easter Sunday. And if there ever is an opportunity when churches really have a phenomenal opportunity to present the gospel to unbelievers, it would have to be Easter Sunday. Many Americans attend church twice a year. Easter and Christmas. And on Easter Sunday, there is a real opportunity to not pull any punches and to give the gospel. Sadly, my fear is with where the church is in terms of the whole church growth movement and not wanting to offend, many churches will use Easter Sunday not as an opportunity to present the gospel so much at, not that they don't not present the gospel, but they will not use it primarily as an opportunity to present the gospel as much as they will use it as an opportunity to present their ministries. Look at us. We do an extra good job of cleaning the facility, maybe, making sure the parking lot is in order. First impressions are everything. We want to make first impressions on these first-time visitors, many of whom have never darkened the door of our church before. And so I think there's a danger. And I'm not saying this is across the board true, but I think for the most part on Easter Sunday, we try to put our best face forward, to make a good impression, to attract people who otherwise may not know much about our ministry. And in the process, we don't necessarily downplay the gospel, but we don't put an emphasis on the gospel. I'll tell you, Alistair Begg doesn't do that. I love going to Parkside Church on Easter Sunday. It's been years since I've had an opportunity to do it. Something about me having some other obligations of my own on Easter Sunday. But when I was not a pastor for about 2 years in the late 90s, I was able to attend Parkside Church's Easter services. And the thing that always impressed me is, number one, they did put their best face forward. They did an excellent job. All the services were packed. You had to come early to get a seat. The music was phenomenal. The ushers were great in greeting you. You felt welcomed. But the thing that I've always appreciated about Parkside Church is the pulpit and the fact that Alistair Begg does not pull any punches. And it was the same this past Sunday. He preached a message last Sunday titled "A Hope That Stands the Test of Time." He took his text from 1 Peter chapter 1. And it was a phenomenal exposition of 1 Peter chapter 1. But I love the way, for lack of a better phrase, this is me characterizing Alistair. That I don't think Alistair would characterize himself this way. I love the way how he doesn't hesitate to get in the face of these visitors and to say to them, look, you're here looking for something. And we hope you find it, but we hope you recognize that it's Jesus. You know, the Christian life isn't something that you just wake up one morning and decide you want to start living. And this is why I've been asking you for the last couple of weeks here to become a truth partner with Alistair Begg. I'm going to play about a 7-minute clip of last Sunday's message. It's about a 35-minute message. The other thing that I love about Parkside Church and Truth for Life is they give you this stuff free. You can actually stream the entire service from start to finish at ParksideChurch.com, the full choir and orchestra, if you love worship music, you can just go to ParksideChurch.com, and right there on the homepage is the sermon with Alistair Begg, A Hope That Stands the Test of Time, either video or audio, and I encourage you to listen to it. But I also encourage you to become a truth partner. This kind of ministry, to be able to offer this kind of media, costs money, and it's people like me and you, when we partner with Alistair Begg, that make this possible. And while this is playing, I'm looking for 5 listeners right now, 5 of you, who will say, I will partner with this man who is so forthright with the gospel, who is not afraid to get in the face of unbelievers and tell the truth as it is. I will partner with this man for a gift of $20 a month, $30 a month, $50 a month. You can partner with Alistair Begg and Truth for Life, heard weekday mornings right here at 9 a.m. on Faith Talk 1500. The number to call to do that is 888-58-TRUTH, 888-588-7884, 888-588-7884. I'm looking for 5 listeners in the next 7 minutes while you're listening to Alistair Begg preach. Would you become a truth partner with Alistair Begg? For a minimum gift of just $20 a month, Alistair will send you the CD of the Sermon on the Month. Plus, you're going to get the one-time gift of Spurgeon's Morning by Morning, edited and modernized by Alistair Begg himself. But you also get the joy of knowing that you are partnering with a wonderful man of God who is not afraid of preaching the truth. You can also give securely online at the special webpage that's been set up by Truth for Life, truthforlife.org/WLQV. truthforlife.org/WLQV, or you can call right now toll free 888-58-TRUTH. Looking for 5 listeners who will make a minimum gift of just $20 a month and partner with Truth for Life as a truth partner. Here's about a 7-minute excerpt. We pick it up in the middle of the message where I think Alistair Begg is demonstrating what pastors ought to be doing when they have an opportunity to talk to people who may be in church for the very first time.
In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. So there are 2 foundational elements to the hope of which he writes and the reality of hope in the Christian life. One, the mercy or the grace of God, which has nothing to do with our achievements or attainments. And 2, the reality, the historicity, the anchor-based conviction that Jesus Christ is alive. If you are a Christian today, then you have been removed from the realm of hopelessness. That is one of the distinguishing features of a Christian. When Paul writes about it to the Ephesians, he says, you were once without God and without hope in the world. That's what you were. He says, but now, since you are in Christ, you live in the realm of those who are filled with hope. The Christian, a genuine Christian, is not someone who has decided just to be a little bit better. There are a lot of people who are a lot better. And some of them are a lot better a lot of the time than those who are genuine Christians. That's always a little worrying, but it's a fact. I know a lot of really, really nice people who are better than me a lot of the time. Well, you say then, what is your Christianity? Well, it is founded in grace and in mercy. If you had to be a better person in order to be accepted, then some of my friends would have been accepted long before me. But it's when you're a stinker that you're accepted on the basis of God's grace. You see, many people think if there is a God and he's paying attention to anything at all, then if he is a good God, then he will reward nice people for doing their best. But that's not what Peter is saying here. No, he's saying that this living hope is found not in the person who has decided to become better, or the immoral person who's decided to turn over a new leaf, or the person who's been largely secular getting into, quotes, spirituality. All of that may be done by human endeavor. But this cannot be done by human endeavor. What he's describing here is something that is done by God in us, not done by us for God. He speaks of it as a birth. And it is a birth that takes place on the basis of what Jesus has done. The hope is found in the death of Jesus. So, as we sang, I stand in Christ with sins forgiven. And Christ in me, the hope of heaven. That's what he's saying. That it is because of what has happened in that which we commemorate on Good Friday, and what has been achieved in the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday, that the Christian has a living hope, because their confidence is placed there. It is a living hope because Jesus is alive. And a Christian is someone who has been united with Jesus, both in his death for sin and in his resurrection. And because Jesus is alive, therefore I am alive. The Christian is not the person that he or she once was. That is something that many of us have a difficult time getting our heads around, because we have tended to think that a Christian experience is something that we adopt. We get up one morning and decide, I think I ought to do this. You know, I think I ought to be a better person, more moral, get church into my life. After all, you know, it's Easter Sunday. This is as good a time to start as any. And it's a wonderful desire, but it will not bring about the change. You can no more make yourself a Christian than you could make yourself alive. When you were born, were you surprised? Oh, you say, I don't remember. I can guarantee you were surprised. When they gave you the old pow and you did the wow, there you said, now you entered a world that you never knew. You had people looking at you that spoke a language that you didn't understand. You entered into an entirely new sphere. And that was something that came about as a result of the agencies entirely beyond ourselves and over which we had no control. Isn't it interesting that that's the very terminology that Jesus uses with the religious man Nicodemus, and Peter picks up here to describe a genuine Christian? You have been born anew. A transformation has been taking place inside of you that is not engendered by you, but is as a result of the regeneration which God granted you on account of his mercy and guaranteed in his resurrection. In England, they make some funny assignments. I mean, the UK, they make funny assignments for homework. And one teacher set the class the responsibility of going away to discover where they had come from. And so the boy had gone home from school and asked his grandpa where his mother came from and how she emerged. And the grandfather, not wanting to really get into things, said that a stork had come and brought her and left her in the family room. And so the boy said, okay, fair enough. He went to his mom and he asked his mom, where did I come from? And she gave him the stork story as well. And he went to an older brother who was married and they had a little one. And he said, where did the little one come from? And they said, yeah, it was a stork. It brought it to our family room. So he wrote his paper and took it back. And the teacher read it and he said, I went home and I conducted my investigation. And I'm forced to conclude that there hasn't been a natural birth in our family for four generations. Some people are attending church with great zeal, but there's been no birth, no regeneration. The hanging on of Christmas ornaments that look Christian, but no life in the inside. There's no living hope in that. There's no living hope in that. That will not stand the test of time. That will not face the beckoning grave. No, the only way that we're ever put right to anticipate that, put right with God, is a result of his mercy and in the power of his resurrection.
That's Alistair Begg, teacher on Truth for Life, heard weekday mornings here at 9 a.m. on Faith Talk 1500. He's also the senior pastor at Parkside Church in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, suburban Cleveland. And it's for preaching like that, my friends, that I love Alistair Begg and consider him my pastor. Probably no one, I mean, a lot of guys have had influence on me, but probably no one has made me want to be more liturgical in my approach to the pulpit, in my approach to what happens during a Sunday morning worship service than Alistair Begg. And I love the way, that's from last Sunday. He's talking to an Easter Sunday crowd, an overflow crowd in his own church, many of whom are there for the first time, and he doesn't pull any punches. He straight up gives the gospel and says, you know, you don't make yourself a Christian. It's like you don't make yourself be born, you don't make yourself be born again. This is a work of regeneration that God produces in our hearts. And this is why I'm urging you to join me and become a truth partner today. We want to be sure that that kind of preaching stays on the airwaves of Faith Talk 1500 and in other places all across the United States of America. And for a gift of just $20 a month, a minimum gift of $20 a month, you can become a truth partner where you will join Alistair in partnering with him for vital prayer support and certainly vital financial support. And every month you'll get an update on their ministry. You'll receive a CD with Alistair's message of the month. And the initial gift you'll receive is Spurgeon's Morning by Morning Devotional, which has been updated and modernized by Alistair Begg himself. And so I'm asking you to join me and a lot of other WLQV listeners to become truth partners today. And the number to call right now, they're waiting for your call. It's toll-free, 888-58-TRUTH. 888-588-7884. Some can give $20 a month, some can give $30, some can give $50. I know there's listeners that could give $100 a month. Please support this vital ministry. This program airs every morning right here on Faith Talk 1500 at 9 a.m. I hope you're able to tune in. If you miss any program, you can get it at oneplace.com. You can get it at truthforlife.org. But I'm asking you to join with me, partner with me and Alistair Begg, and support this ministry financially. Because the reality is it costs money for broadcast time. And these are the kind of messages that we want on our air. But it takes listeners like you to keep this kind of programming on our air. And so please join me and become a truth partner right now. Someone's waiting for your call right now at 888-58-TRUTH, 888-588-7884. You can also give securely online at a brand new website that's been set up by Truth for Life, www.truthforlife.org/WLQV. That's also linked at our website at faithtalk1500.com. More of the Paul Edwards program coming up here on Faith Talk 1500. Hi, it's Paul Edwards inviting you to stay tuned right after the Paul Edwards program for my friend, Pastor Emery Moss Jr. and Bible Talk.
This is Pastor Emery Moss, your friendly neighborhood apologist, a guy who gives you challenges, but also who takes challenges from you on every Bible Talk program. So make sure you tune in Monday through Friday from 6 to 7. Don't miss a single program weekdays at 6 p.m. here on Faith Talk 1500 WLQV.
This is Pastor Dan McGee from Grace and Truth Radio, and I would like to invite you to join me right here on Faith Talk 1500, 1:30 in the afternoon and 8 o'clock at night, Monday through Friday, and then a special program every Saturday from 12 to 1 o'clock. Grace and Truth Radio, right here on Faith Talk 1500.
Since Adam and Eve, people have sought wisdom. Our world today is one flooded with information, but has little time for wisdom. Our World, His View, hosted by Pastor Brad Smith, brings the wisdom of God from His Holy Word to the challenges of our contemporary world. Join Pastor Brad Smith and his guests every Saturday at 9, here on Faith Talk 1500, as they seek God's view on the world in which we live. Our World, His View, Saturdays, 9 a.m., on Faith Talk 1500.
You're writing a Christian book and you want it published. You also know old-fashioned publishers reject thousands of manuscripts each year. Want your book in print and on Amazon? Make it happen. Take control and publish yourself with 21st Century Christian Publishing at Zulon Press. Learn more with your free guide to Christian publishing. Visit ChristianPublishing.com. ChristianPublishing.com. Publishing is fast, easy, and affordable with Zulon Press. A division of Salem Communications, the same great people who bring you this nifty radio station.
Information, commentary, and podcast are always online at godandculture.com. Here again is Paul Edwards on Faith Talk 1500.
55 minutes after the hour here on the Paul Edwards program, 866-423-WLQV is the number if you'd like to engage us. And you can do that at the website as well at godandculture.com. The phone line's open, however, for the next couple of minutes as we wind down the Friday edition of the program, 866-423-WLQV, 866-423-9578 here in the Center for the Study of God and Culture. Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens announced today he is retiring by the end of summer, and the White House in full mode now to find his replacement. And Americans United for Life, Charmaine Yost is the president of this group, Americans United for Life, AUL.org, has put together the top six contenders for appointment by President Obama to fill the vacancy that will be left by departing Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens. Number one, Elena Kagan, who is currently the Solicitor General of the United States. She, according to Americans United for Life, is probably a very, very pro-choice, would be a very pro-choice justice. Number two, Judge Diane Wood. She's a federal judge on the United States Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. Americans United for Life says a Wood nomination would return the abortion wars to the Supreme Court because of her abortion advocacy. Number three, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano. She was appointed, she appointed Planned Parenthood CEO to the Governor's Commission on the Health Status of Women and Families. She is probably going to be, would be a very pro-choice judge. Number four, Judge Merrick Garland, who is a federal judge on the United States Court of Appeals, and our own Governor Jennifer Granholm is on the short list. Number six, Leah Ward Sears, former Georgia Chief Justice. So we're up for a fight here. And a lot of people might say, well, you know what? It's a liberal seat. A liberal's going to get it anyway. Why fight? Because we've got to stand our ground on principle, my friends. Hey, we'll be back again on Monday with another rousing edition of the program. In the meantime, godandculture.com. But on Sunday, be in church somewhere, and if you need a church to go to, Calvary Baptist Church in Waterford would welcome you. CBCWaterford.com. Thanks for sharing part of your Friday with us. We'll do it again on Monday at 4.
Yo, where'd everybody go?
You have a mortgage and a load of other debt. Wouldn't it be great if it all just went away? No More Mortgage can change your life.
We paid off all of our bills.
All your debt, including your mortgage, in as little as 9 years?
With No More Mortgage, we will have saved over $313,000 in interest payments.
Even have more money left over each month?
It lowered our monthly payments by a little over $500.
No More Mortgage.
Where have they been all of our life?
If you knew about something like that, you'd want to tell everybody.
Whenever I have a friend or someone that needs this service, I give them the number.
I'm Larry Ruff, president of No More Mortgage. This is unlike anything you have ever seen before, and it will absolutely not harm your credit. Call for your free CD. Learn how you can eliminate all your debt, including your mortgage, much sooner than you ever dreamed possible. The more debt you have, the more we can help.
Call for your free CD now. 800-578-9516.
This works. Call the number.
Call now for your free CD. 800-578-9516.